I don't see any sense in that. People know where the church is. If they want to come, they know how to get there. Ah, we bring a bunch of people in here like that, and then you don't never see them again. Well, there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, I ain't crazy. There's more reasons for it than just saying, okay, we had so many. That's just one little bitty tiny thing. There's a lot of reasons why you have a big day in Sunday school like we're going to have here in a few weeks. And I hope that God will give you the burden and it will all... I don't want anybody in here to be spectators. Don't be a spectator at church. Be a participator. Have a part in it. Do something. Be a part in it. Even if you don't do nothing but bring one of your nephews or your mother or aunt or somebody like that. Have a part in this big day that we're planning. I am extremely excited about it. I really am. Stuff like this just excites the daylights out of me. I like to see something happening. If there's anything I can't stand, it's just the same old thing all the time. And our church isn't that. It isn't that, that's for sure. We always have a few exciting things. We had something in here exciting in Sunday school this morning. Many of you missed it. We always have some exciting things going on. And there's a couple of times in the Bible where they had thousands and thousands of people gathered together. Two of them are John chapter 6 and Acts chapter 2. Look at John chapter 6 here just a minute. John chapter 6 and verse 10. When they're trying to feed this crowd. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. There were 5,000 people in that service that day. My soul, in the Word of God. I've heard preachers say, "Bless God, if you preach that book, you ain't gonna have no crowd." Well, Jesus evidently didn't preach the book. Jesus Christ preached. Now, of course, he didn't run them off. Some of them bailed out on him later when they told him the hard part. But they came. They were there. They were there on that big day, 5,000. On another occasion, 4,000. 4,000 people heard the Lord preach that day. And did you know something? You got to remember that this is the day before radio. There's no way in the world they could put that on radio. There wasn't no radios. There's no way they could advertise that on TV. There was no printing press. They could not have advertised, "Jesus Christ will be at such and such out there in that valley. Everybody in town come and hear him." They didn't have printing presses in those days. How'd all them people know about that? You know how they knew about it. People talked it up. Individual people talked up and said, "Man, this guy is healing people, and this guy, people being raised from the dead, and he done this and he done that." Really? Yeah! You wouldn't believe it! There's teenagers, there's mamas and daddies, God's doing mighty things. People say, "Well, I'm gonna go over there and see that, what's going on there." The best advertisement is for the Lord to get in here just right. If the Lord gets in a church just right, you don't even have to put it on radio, buddy. People gonna tell it. It's gonna get out of here. Boy, they went out there and they told it, and they told it, and they told it, and wound up with 5,000 people. Didn't have nothing but a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, and the Lord fed every one of them. You bring one loaf of bread on that day of our anniversary, and we'll have 1,000, and we'll break it and feed every single one of them. They're going to get that much each. Maybe just a little smidgen. Wouldn't hurt us to do without one evening, would it? What about the rest of yous? "Oh, don't tell me I'm going to do without for a whole evening." No, you'll get you a little smidgen. We'll feed 1,000 with a loaf of bread. But look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 this evening. Look at this amazing service here in the book of Acts chapter 2. I thought about going all through the Bible and seeing where they had 1,000 or more people in the Word of God. Lots of times there were thousands of people come and heard the Word of God. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, our little old town of Marion, Only 38,000 of the world's finest people lives here. Said, there's so many, there ain't that many people in Marion. Yes, they are too. On any given Sunday in McDowell County, there's 25,000 people sitting at home. 25,000. There's enough people in McDowell County to build what? 25 more churches with 100 people each. That's only 2,500. 250 churches with 100 people each in them. 250 more if everybody in McDowell County went to church. People say, I heard a little town so little, we ain't got but one page, yellow page in the phone book. Because of all them big advertisement stuff, it wouldn't be too many more than that. And that may be true, but God's able, and God's able to put it on people's heart to come. Here, look here, they didn't have a phone book. In the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, and he said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You know that great scripture in the sermon there that he preached. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 got saved. I don't know how many there was there, but 3,000, about 3,000 got saved. My, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. When I think about our Sunday school, I think about our Sunday school must have a purpose. Our Sunday school teachers, let me say something to you. We've got to have a reason for operating. We are more than babysitters for an hour on Sunday morning. This is not just something to do as a tradition. There is a purpose and goal in our Sunday school. I've always been the type of person that I didn't mind going if I had somewhere to go and I knew where I was going. I never did just want to just get out and just ride around, not where I was going. I want to be doing, getting somewhere. I want to know if I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'd want to know if I had 15 in my class today, I'd want to know how many I had last week. If I had 20 in my class last week, I'd go down my list and make some calls and say, hey, we missed you. But people say, oh, I don't care. I just teach whoever shows up. No, you've got to have a purpose. You've got to have a goal. You've got to have somewhere you're going in your mind or you never will. This church here tonight didn't just pop up here. It didn't just say, well, let's build a building and see if anybody comes. No, it don't work like that at all. I said one time there's a man out in the big park, and he had this great big rock. And he's up on like a chair or something. He's chiseling on that rock. And somebody come and said, oh, what are you making? He said, nothing. I'm just chiseling. And he just kept on beating around. And they said, well, if you ain't making nothing, I ain't going to watch it. And went on down. And that reminds me of so many churches tonight, just chiseling. And don't seem to be making anything. Don't seem to be going anywhere. We need to have a purpose. If that man say, hey, I'm going to make a giraffe out of this thing, people would have stood there and said, well, I'm going to see if that thing turns into a giraffe and see what he can do. See, he's got to have a goal. You must have a purpose. You must have a purpose. Let me give you four or five things this evening. Why Sunday school is important. Why there's no other thing in the world that can take the place of Sunday school, and how you and I can see more people in Sunday school than we've ever seen before. I believe tonight, I've already worked on an aunt and uncle of mine. I talked to him today. We invite them all the time. They hardly ever come once in a while, but I got them this evening. And I said, now listen, we are going to have our 17th anniversary. You got to be there. You got to be there. And he said, well, just like that, no problem at all. All I'll have to do to get them to come is call them back a few times and that last week, you know, and remind them and all of that. They'll come. If I just said, come to church sometime, they say, well, we got this, well, we'll do that. See what I mean? If you say, hey, we're having that big day, you're going to help us be a part of that big day where we're feeding the 5,000 with a hot dog. And we want you to be there and see the big day. Now, I want to tell you what, brother. I'd go somewhere to see 5,000 people eat one hot dog, wouldn't you? You wouldn't even get to lick it, man. Smell it maybe a little bit. But I'm telling you what, brother, it'll work. It'll work. Let me say four or five things about Sunday school very quickly. First of all, Sunday school is the only place I know of Bible teaching for most people. Most people never hear the Bible taught any other place but Sunday school. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about teaching. We're supposed to preach the Bible. We're supposed to teach the Bible. Brother John, if you'll come and listen to him in Sunday school, he comes across some of the greatest truths that you'll ever get in your life, just steady by steady. Now, I know teaching ain't like preaching. Teaching's not as easy to listen to as preaching. Teaching's not as exciting as preaching. But teaching is like, it's like driving in a car, you know. Them miles keep clicking off, keep clicking off. First thing you know, you don't realize how far you've gone. You don't realize how much you've learned. If you'll just get in there and study that book and let that teacher take that word of God and teach you the Bible, you'd be surprised how much you learn. They sure don't get it at home. Most people don't. And they sure don't get it on television. I've been in motels turning these Christian radio stations on. I never heard such a mess in all of my life. I'm the most crazy Bible teaching you've ever heard in your born days. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for a place that we can gather on Sunday mornings for an hour and hear the blessed Word of God taught to us. We sure do need it. Let me say secondly tonight, most kids don't get Bible teaching at home. Do you know that? Most kids don't get Bible teaching at home. You know that. I think about all these kids here tonight. We have some of our best kids here tonight, and they come back to church tonight because they want something. Y'all have little kids, they just come to see the boys and the girls. Well, they might think they are, but God's got a bigger reason for them being here than that. They're getting something from God. They're getting something from God. You can't sit in the atmosphere like we've had here tonight and sooner or later some of it not rub off on you. You know what happened? You see people come to the altar, people getting right, people shouting, preaching, praying. When you go out those doors tonight, sin looks dirtier to you than it did before you came in here. Most kids never get no Bible teaching at home. I bet you we could really be shocked tonight if we had all these teenagers stand up and say, "Hand many of you have Bible study in your home. You get your mom and daddy teaches you the Bible." We'd be shocked. We'd be shocked here tonight. Most kids don't get it at home. They know more about Madonna than they know about Mary. They know more about rock and roll than they do the Rock of Ages. Amen? They know more. They heard more about Tonya Harding in the last week than they have about Jesus who died and rose again and is coming back. Sunday school's important because kids are taught the Word of God. I thought about our best kids. I heard a story of a businessman many years ago up north. Got all discouraged and all tore up. And he went home one day. And he's about bankrupt and he took a gun. And he went in the house and shot his wife. And shot his kids, every one of them, one at a time. And then turned the gun on himself. And killed himself. And one of the little girls, about the littlest girl in the house, was just wounded. She wasn't dead. And he didn't know it. And killed himself. That little girl made it to the telephone. And she got on the telephone and she knew the numbers to dial. That was back before they had 911, but somehow she got a hold of the emergency or the cops or somebody. And here's what she said. She said, "Daddy shot me and everybody's dead. Can you come and help me?" And a preacher got a hold of that and he used that statement of that little girl where that little girl was crying out. She was the only one in the house. And brother, she said, "Hey, Daddy shot me and everybody's dead. Can you come and help me?" And I'm going to tell you tonight, bus workers, listen to me. Most of the doors that you knock on every Saturday on your bus route, most of these little kids that come in here, they're in the same shape. Everybody's dead spiritually in the house. Mama's dead. Daddy's dead. They offer no spiritual training. And all they have is beer and dirty movies and things like that. And they're dead. Can somebody help them? Can somebody knock on their door? Can somebody, if you're discouraged here as a bus worker, take heart. Thank God. Take heart. You're in the greatest work in the world of bringing little kids to Jesus Christ. Public schools, number three, sure don't give it to them. For the most part, you know good and well, the public schools don't teach the Bible. Every once in a while, some of our kids come up to me and they say, "Brother Danny, we're studying religion in our class. Isn't that great?" And usually I think, no, it sure ain't. Because the religion they teach is historical, and part of their history ain't right. And they always teach you the King James Bible's full of mistakes. And they always teach you that you shouldn't judge other religions. And they always teach you that this is just history. And they always teach you that the Bible's full of legends and myths. That ain't much Bible that kids get in school anymore. I tell you what, man, they keep changing their tune. Evolutionists said a long time ago that you came from certain things. Then they come up and said they come up with something else. Then they come up and said it's something else. I kind of agree with that one little boy come home one day. He said, "Mama, I ain't going back to school." She said, "Why?" He said, "Well, the first day they told me 2 + 3 = 5. And the next day I went back and they told me 4 + 1 = 5. And the next day they told me 5 + 0 = 5. He said, "If they can't make up their mind no better than that, I ain't going back." That's about the way it goes, brother. Some of them seem like they can't make up their mind. Amen? Hey, it's a joke, brother. It's a joke. They don't hardly get the Word of God in public schools anymore. I tell you, I read somewhere where it said, now they've made a new rule where you have to raise your hand first before you slap one of the teachers. And that's about the way it's getting. It's getting that bad. But I tell you, brother, hey, listen, the church is the only place in this town and the only place in our country tonight, Bible preaching churches where little boys and girls can go and sit in a class and a godly teacher stand in front of them and say, "Jesus loves you. He's the Savior. He's coming back again. Thank God for Sunday school." Listen, every person that walks in these doors on that big day we have on March the 6th, every single one of them will be affected by God. They walk in these doors. We're going to be praying. We're going to be expecting. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, what does it do?" I'll tell you what a big day like that does. It challenges other churches. Sure does. See, a little church maybe running 40 or 50 will say, "Praise God, I heard they worked hard and had 1,000. I believe we can work hard and have 100. Hey, it challenges other churches. They say, "Glory to God, hallelujah, it can be done." You know what our generation needs to see? They need to see God do something big. God do something great. God do something powerful. They say, "Where's God? Churches are dying. Churches are empty. Nobody goes to church anymore." That crowd needs to be shut up. Amen? It sure does. And I want to tell you something. It's a testimony to this world that our God is still on His throne. Sure is. It's a testimony to this world that our God is still on His throne. Buddy, I tell you what, people, you can tell. So the best people you'll ever meet in the world are Sunday school teachers, preachers, deacons, people that go to church regular to have their kids in Sunday school. Some of the best people you'll ever meet in the world. Now, they may not have everything exactly right. They may not be perfect, but they're still best people in the world. Like that one fella, they said, "I know he's on the level because his backer juice runs out of both sides of his mouth." That's what you can tell a level guy there. He ain't perfect, but he's on the level. Amen. Number 5, the Sunday schools of today. Listen to me. The Sunday schools of today are the churches of tomorrow if Jesus don't come. Let me tell you something, buddy. The Lord... I've heard people say, "Well, how'd they get all them people to come there in the book of Acts?" Well, it wasn't on radio. And it wasn't on tracts or flyers. You say, "I know what happened. The Holy Ghost just drew them in there." Hey, over in John chapter 6, the Holy Ghost wasn't even here. The Holy Ghost wasn't here. He didn't come to Acts chapter 2. The Lord said, "When I go, I'll send Him." He wasn't here drawing them to that meeting, brother. Them people got out and told it. Amen. Amen? That's what a lot of people don't understand. They say they believe God's going to knock somebody out of bed over there and pick them up and set them in here. Now, He might do that once in a while, but about 99 times out of 100, He uses somebody's mouth to tell them like He did the disciples, and then they come in. Then the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them, and then they believe and get saved. That's right. That's right. It challenges. Our Sunday school of today are the churches of tomorrow. You walk through the halls. I was up there in the junior church this morning. Son, you can get run over up there bad. You start walking down the hall. Here they come down them steps. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, they're running through your legs. I seen two little boys. One little boy just running through the hall like this. Another come, they went, wow, hit each other in bed. Up there in the hall this morning. I mean, just smacked them good. They're running in here, running in there. Teachers are grabbing them, running this way and running that way. You know what? I believe the Lord looks down and smiles when he sees that. I do. I do. You know what? It's only the grace of God that's protected our church thus far. And I believe with all my heart, you can say what you want to. I believe with all my heart, God looks down and says, well, them people's after them little old young'uns, and I love them, and my son died for them. I'm just going to put my hand over and protect them. I'm going to supply the need. I'm going to pay the bills. Hallelujah. It's him that's protected us. Mom tells me, she said, Danny, somebody's going to come in there and shoot you one of these days. I said, well, one time there's a guy come in and sat right there, about the fourth row. Right there, right in there, where Randy and sister there, and or the Rose there. And son, did he look at me mean. All that Satanist stuff, you know, and all that stuff. And I was sitting over here, and I was getting ready to preach, and something told me, he said, there he is. They've sent him, and as soon as you get up there, he's going to nail you and run out. He just didn't look like everybody else. He sat there and looked at me like, yeah. When everybody sung, he just sat there and stared at me. I thought, uh-oh. So while the choir was singing, I was rolling over in my mind what I was going to do. I had my plan made out, buddy. Son, if he had stood up, I was just going to go, like that. I done made up my mind. And then I was going to say, get him, boys! We about had to do that a few times, but I had to do it this morning. Brother John does more here than lead singing. He could be drafted to the Cowboys next year and we might lose him to tackle. But you know what? I felt bad about that guy. The whole time I was preaching, I just kind of look at him every now and then like that, you know. I kind of forgot about it. And I felt real bad because that poor guy got up and come to the altar that morning. I felt awful about that. But you know, somebody throwed a cat up against our wall. There was a cat up against a dead cat. Against the doors this morning when they got here. This morning. Yeah. Now, son, if that thing's throat was slit and all its blood's gone, buddy, we better get up here and do some praying. They done sacrificed that thing and put a curse on us. You say, well, I don't know if I want to come to this church or not. I'd be scared to death to go to a church where God wasn't blessing. You say, well, the devil fight. Hey, man, when the weather gets warm, the snakes start crawling. Anytime God blesses, them old snakes start crawling. That's demon. I wouldn't even go to a church, so sorry the devil didn't try to fight it. Don't be a chicken Christian. He said, you talking about dead cats and sliced throats and guns? We ain't going to have no thousand. You're probably right. I probably should just scratch that last 5 minutes. But believe me, you're safe. Everything's under control. I bet you they had some weirdos in that crowd of 3,000 that day, don't you? They probably had some nuts in that congregation. But you know what? I got to looking at them little kids. I'm going to say this and I'm through. I got to thinking about them running around up and down them hallways. And then when these girls tonight were singing at youth choir practice, and we sung that song, The Man in the Middle, and these girls were over here singing it. And I got to thinking, when Dawn was singing a while ago, and Carrie was singing, I was standing over here, and I got to thinking, you know something? That's a lick that we got in for God. And if every one of us old people died tonight, these kids here know enough that they could carry on and have a church service. You might be shocked at what kind of service they could have if we all just died tonight. You might be surprised. Well, they don't know how to organize. Where in the Bible does it say you got to know how to organize? I don't know how to organize. But I tell you what I do know how to do. I know how to pray and get in touch with God. But if you can do that, everything else will take care of itself. The Sunday school today is the church of tomorrow. We stand before souls that are going to live forever and ever and ever in heaven or hell. Every time we talk to them. The way I'm going to give the invitation tonight is I have a little piece of paper here. This little piece of paper has 12 lines on it. And if we're going to work and try to have a big day in Sunday school on the 6th of March, I'd like for everybody that'll do it to take one of these pieces of paper. You don't have to have man and wife. A man and wife can take one, or if you're really going to work hard, take two, and say, I will pray for and try to bring these to Sunday school March 6, 1994. And on this piece of paper, I'm going to write my aunt and uncle that I talked to today. And I'm going to write two of my cousins that I'm thinking about right now. I'm not talking about people that go to other churches. I mean, if a person goes to a good Bible preaching church, leave them alone. Amen? They need to be in their church. It ain't going to do no good just take people out of one good church and put them in another. And if they go to some old reprobate, dead outfit, you don't have a bad conscience about that. But if they go to a church where the Bible's preached and the plan of salvation is, don't mess with them. There's 25,000 that don't. And I'm going to put them down there, and then I'm going to call them, or I'm going to go visit them here in these next 2 weeks. And if they say, yeah, I'll be there, I promise, I'm going to put a little check by their name. And then that last week, I'm going to call them at least once, especially that Friday or Saturday, and say, now listen, now not 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Not 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, Sunday school. You say, what's the big deal about? I just got through telling you what the big deal is about Sunday school. It's important. It's important. Okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to give these to some of these men. In just a moment, we're going to give them out. You may not have enough for everybody to have one, but you take what you'll use. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for it. We ask you, Lord, to give the increase. We know it comes from you. We can work. We can pray. We can invite. We can make phone calls. But Lord, you must give the increase. I pray, dear God, that you'd do it. Give the increase for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.